Welcome to Using Automation to Prevent Cyber Attacks, sponsored by Palo Alto Networks on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
For the rest of 2017, the Homeland Security Department has big plans to put the pieces in place to automate collection and sharing of cyber threat data. The short and long-term goals are to give agencies an early warning about potential and real threats to their systems and networks using a variety of tools. John Felker is the director of the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at DHS. He tells executive editor Jason Miller about how the assorted tools his crew is managing will help agencies get ahead of those cyber attacks.
Let's just start with some basics. The NCIC US CERT, you guys are doing a tremendous amount of work helping to secure both the private sector and the public sector. Let's focus a little bit on the public sector first, the federal agencies. What are you guys looking to get done? What are your priorities, if you will, for 2017 and beyond?
The two big priorities are to get, and this is sort of one, is Einstein and CDM fully implemented and fully useful. Einstein, as you know, is the intrusion prevention, intrusion detection, and traffic monitoring system that's already in place, but it covers part of what we think we need to cover from a cyber defense perspective. But we're working with the departments and agencies closely to do more along the lines of web content filtering and so forth, so that Einstein can help them understand what's happening on their network and provide early notice. And if we get really good in the NCIC, we're going to try to figure out a way to use the data that we have in a substantive way to try and be as predictive as we can be. The CDM thing is another really big deal because that tool will help the departments and agencies, the cyber defenders, if you will, of those places, understand in real time what vulnerabilities they have, what changes to their configurations that they need to pay attention to and address if appropriate to address. And it's going to really help them. It's a big step forward from every 3 years we come and we inspect your system and we give you a full report and we sign it. And then it's a really good thing for about a day, because the dynamic environment is such that, you know, you could check everything and then the next day it could change just depending on configuration changes or something an adversary might do and so on. The whole idea with CDM is to understand your environment as completely as you can in real time, and that helps you make good decisions based upon where you're going to focus your defense efforts. So that's one part what we're looking to do. And quite honestly, the NCIC, it doesn't do either of those in terms of operationalizing them. However, we do use the data that comes out of that to help the departments and agencies be better at cyber defense. The other part of CS&C that does that is the NSD group, and they're really, really focused hard on making sure that those things are in place and that they're working well. The other one that I want to talk about is the automated indicator sharing program. We have about 135 or 140 partners right now, both in the federal government and in the private sector. And the idea with AIS is that when we come across something that looks like it's an indicator of compromise that we have assessed is worth sharing, it gets plugged into the system and shared automatically from on a machine-to-machine basis. And those indicators could come from any of the places we're connected to, those indicators can provide some potential actions for cyber defenders to take to defend their network. So the big focus for us this year is operationalizing that and making it as useful as we possibly can for those folks that are subscribed to that service and trying to get more partners involved in that effort.
All right, so a couple of things I want to just go back on. The first one, I think is important that you talk about, is understanding in real time and then, you know, understand the vulnerabilities. But then you also said the idea of providing almost early notice. And I think that's something that's kind of like the gold standards. And that comes from an automation standpoint. So talk a little bit about automation and how that fits into this discussion.
Let's say, for example, we have all this data from Einstein and from CDM and from other sources. And with the right tools, you can sift through that data. General Alexander used to call it looking for a needle in a stack of needles. But you can sift through that data and you can get some sense, hopefully, if we do it right and we do it well, you can get some sense of what might be coming next. And then the idea would be to say, okay, this is sort of what this actor is doing. These are some of the things that we think we should be looking for. We build that into either Einstein or AIS or both, and plug it into the system so that before the bad guy gets in the network with that particular through that particular vulnerability or with that particular set of tactics, we've already put a defensive measure in place to either stop him or at least make him work harder to get into the network. Does that make sense?
It does. And because the data that's coming from agencies, because the data you're getting through AIS, you're able to see and predict, if you will, what maybe is coming down and then make a decision and do something about it. I mean, that's, if you will, the long goal and the short goal, meaning you want to do it today because the sooner you can do it, the better. But from a long-term perspective, getting all the agency dashboards in place under CDM, getting the federal dashboard in place under CDM, the more and more people get under AIS, all that data comes together at the NCIC.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the way we're looking at it. Bring that data together, use the amount of data we have. Oh, and by the way, not only just use that data, but use the data and other connections that we have to other parts of the government, law enforcement, intelligence community, and so forth, as well as the really strong partnerships we have with the commercial sector, particularly a lot of the critical infrastructure sector players. And how can we take, for example, can we take this one piece of data that we've sort of parsed and we've looked at and we think it's, you know, something worth investigating further, and how can we bounce that off, not just the data set that we have, but bounce it off the data set that our partners have to make sure that it's something that's going to be useful for cyber defenders, and it's not going to create a lot of false positives, for example. It's going to be useful for them, and it could potentially lead them to putting some preventive measures in place rather than reactive measures.
And so many times cybersecurity ends up being so reactive, and the nature of it is, you know, you're the defender, the attacker, so you're always having to be, that's the role that has traditionally played. Do you get a sense as automation picks up across the federal government, whether it's within the NCIC or within agencies, that's the key piece to really changing the dynamics of this, where we're going to be reactive and they're always going to be attacking us, so we have to defend?
Yeah, I think there's two things to look at. First is that I think we do absolutely want to do that. We want to try to get ahead of the adversary. And the thing that we can do to get ahead of them is potentially stop them. But the second thing is, even if we can't stop them, we can make it more expensive. We can make it more resource intensive for the bad guy to do what he wants to do. And if you can't keep them out of your network, and you know, the likelihood, quite frankly, is if a determined adversary is going to get into a network, unless it's completely and totally air-gapped, and even then, that's not a given. So the idea here is to assess your risk, understand what your risk is, what your particular organization's risk profile is, assess your risk, take a look at what that threat is, compare that with the risk, understanding, you know, there are some things in my organization that I want to protect really, really strongly. There are other things in the organization that don't need to be protected as much. And those are really hard decisions to make. But quite honestly, if you try to defend everything, I think you end up defending almost nothing because you just get spread so thin. So the idea of understanding your risk and focusing your defense efforts on those really high risk, high value parts of your organization is a good way to start.
From the NCIC's perspective, and I know a lot of the data that's going to come in from either CDM or AIS will help you kind of feed that risk discussion and then feed that preventive steps or defensive steps you have to take. Are there also tools or also areas you guys are looking at just internally that could we add automation? Could we add tools to help us with the automation?
Yeah, you know, there are. I can't speak to any of them in particular because we're still sort of assessing what that means. I mean, we're a little bit behind and taking a look at how that works and how that fits in. Do we need to change our work process for that? We're working through all the steps that we need to do to make sure that where we automate effectively so that the result of that automation is something that helps the humans make the decisions they need to make. And so that's not an easy process. You got to kind of think through that. In most cases, you can say, okay, yeah, machine can do that. Let's get the machine to do it, set up the decision engine, off you go. And then a flag comes up when the machine sees something that a human needs to look at. But in some of the cases, particularly with the sophisticated actors that we deal with, I think it takes a little bit more than that sometimes.
One of the key pieces, as you mentioned with AIS, is that real-time sharing. How is that real-time sharing happening so agencies on their side can take the data you're giving them and then they can make decisions, again, whether preventive or reactive?
Again, you got to remember that AIS is still relatively young. There's been, as you may be aware, there's been a little bit of a churn in that market space with one of the tools that's used to receive and take action on automated sharing. But that's sort of settling out. There's a new version in the works of the Styx code, Styx 2.0, that's going to help us get better at that, processing it. But at the end of the day, what we're going to have to do, let's assume that we've sorted out all those problems and we're really sharing effective information back and forth. The receiver of that information has to have thought through what action they're going to take based upon the indicators that we share with them. So part of our challenge is to score those indicators based upon how bad we think they are, whether the source is reliable, all those kinds of things, so that when you receive it, you can make a good decision about how you're going to use it. And then set the decision engine that receives that information up to account for that and take automated action. That is a big cultural move that I think is still sort of formative. The idea that a machine is going to send you something and your machines are going to automatically do something. And if you haven't thought through that, there's the potential there, obviously, to upset your mission or your business. And so that takes a great deal of thought to get right. And we're helping some folks think through that now. There's some challenges, as I mentioned, but I think there, in the long run, that's what we want to be able to do, is have a regular dialogue that goes back and forth and make sure that when we send an indicator, it's got the quality with it so that the receiver can comfortably have automated action taken rather than have to have a human look at something we sent them.
John Felker is director of the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at the Homeland Security Department, speaking with executive editor Jason Miller. In part two of the interview, hear how DHS is actually administering its cyber tools. I'm Tom Temin.
Need to improve your time to prevent never-before-seen threats? Automation is the key. With a rich U.S. government heritage, Palo Alto Networks understands the needs of its U.S. government customers. The federal government wants the fastest threat prevention, network-to-endpoint, cloud, and SaaS environments. Come to Palo Alto Networks to get that prevention in as little as 5 minutes from the time a new threat is seen anywhere. For more on Palo Alto Networks Public Sector LLC, visit federalnewsradio.com and search Palo Alto Networks.
As the Homeland Security Department puts more cyber tools in place, officials say they want them to act as a vaccination against cyber disease. The sharing of data will help emerging technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning automatically prevent attacks. John Felker is director of the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at the Homeland Security Department. He tells executive editor Jason Miller about how DHS is administering those cyber booster shots.
I remember talking with Phyllis Schneck, the former deputy undersecretary for the cybersecurity, MPPD, before she left when she was with the Obama administration. She talked about almost getting a flu shot, right? Very similar to getting inoculated against diseases. AIS was a piece of that. I know CDM, Einstein 3A was a piece of that. Is that all starting to come together slowly but surely? I mean, you kind of went through each piece separately, but talk about the holistic viewpoint.
Yeah, I think it is. We're pursuing improvements across the board in automated analysis and threat hunting and the assessment systems. I think those are coming together to be more effective than they were maybe at the outset. I'll be honest with you, within the NCIC, we're learning more about how to better use some of the information that we get from those tools. And we're also learning how to set up better interaction with our partners in the departments and agencies so that when, for example, when Einstein generates an alert, not only do we know about it, but we have some context that goes with it, if context is possible. And if the department and agency that's receiving has questions, they can pick up the phone, and we have an established relationship that allows a good dialogue to happen and effectively helps them in their cyber defense efforts. So from your, you said holistic. That holistically, that's our point of view, to have all these these tools working together and provide the customer support to the folks that are receiving our information so that they can use it most effectively. That's the end goal.
And the other piece of this that you didn't mention, obviously, is the CTIC, the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center that's being run out of the intelligence world. They also are playing a role. You mentioned earlier just when you get your information, not just from agencies and private sector, but also from the intelligence community, as well as from the FBI, law enforcement. I know you can't talk too much about CTIC. That's a different program, but they're also part of this discussion, too, and helping you make those decisions based on not just an automated way, but help in the sense of protecting federal networks.
Yes, CTIC is in a strategic sense, and in some cases, operationally, they do a pretty good job of putting together community production so that it's understandable and usable. At a tactical level, we're more and more down in the weeds with some of the other intelligence community partners and law enforcement partners in terms of actually what's happening, tools, tactics, procedures, ones and zeros, things like that. But as a whole, you know, that whole group of folks has been pretty cooperative in terms of this discussion that we need to have as we work particular instances or you know, almost everything that we do is a team sport.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that we're seeing that more and more as things get harder. You mentioned Stix and Taxi. You mentioned I think Stix 2.0 is coming out. Where is DHS with those two information sharing tools, and what's the future looking like?
The Stix Taxi effort was something that was started in DHS, and in 2015 it was transitioned to a more or less an international organization, the Organization for Advancement of Structured Information Standards, OASIS. And so they are the body that is working multinationally to organize and improve the standards. So, and we are, as you might expect, we play an active role in that process, developing, you know, documentation and tools and application programming and all those kinds of things, interfaces that work for Stix and Taxi. They're in the process of finalizing this 2.0 that we expect to, it's going to make it easier for people to use. So, and it's going to make it even easier for vendors to adopt their tool to be interoperable with the new 2.0 standard. So it'll be easier for the ingest, if you will, and easier for it to understand and then do what it needs to do. So if I'm sending indicators in 2.0 and you're receiving it with a particular vendor's tool, it's a whole lot easier for the interface between those two tools to be set up and work more effectively.
Now, DHS is still using the initial Stix Taxi 1.0.
Right.
And how's that playing a role in this information sharing, this automation of information sharing?
Yeah, I mean, the 1.0 is cranking away. Since its inception, March of 2016, we've shared about 277,000 or so unique threat indicators through AIS. And we just received some study results about a comparative study on the AIS feed, if you will, compared to some other feeds that are out there. And though our numbers are much smaller, the general consensus of the study was that the quality was quite high and the timeliness was, in fact, quite a bit better than some of the other feeds. So we're pretty happy with that, but we still have a long ways to go. I mean, if you compare the volume, ours is 277K, and some of the other providers are providing 10 and 15 and 20 times that number of indicators. Numbers don't necessarily mean goodness, but obviously, we want to have more numbers, but we want to make sure that we maintain the quality and the timeliness as well.
That's interesting. Now, was this study done by DHS, or was this study done by somebody else?
Somebody else.
I'm not sure if it's still sensitive at all, but are you able to offer anything more about when you talk about what AIS was providing in terms of the quality and the goodness, as you said, what were some of the things that came out from it?
Just that they're generally the quality of the indicator. So rather than having a, you know, a generic IP address that gets pushed in a threat feed that might revert back to Google or something like that, which obviously the numbers then get high. Our numbers were lower, but we didn't have a preponderance of false positives and a preponderance of quote-unquote junk that was in our feed. And the review of our delivery time versus some of the others was probably, I think they said it was somewhere between 100 and 120 days on average, a little bit faster. So we're pretty happy about that, but But that's not the end of the story. I mean, we still have a long ways to go. And quite honestly, the biggest hurdle in my mind, I think, is to make sure that the people that are receiving it can use it the way that it was originally intended, which is to take automated action based upon their faith and their trust in the quality of the indicators, based upon their risk profile, and based upon how they set up their receipt engine to do that.
John Felker is director of the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at Homeland Security, speaking with executive editor Jason Miller. Hear the rest of the interview after a quick break. I'm Tom Temin.
Need to improve your time to prevent never-before-seen threats? Automation is the key. With a rich U.S. government heritage, Palo Alto Networks understands the needs of its U.S. government customers. The federal government wants the fastest threat prevention, network-to-endpoint, cloud, and SaaS environments. Come to Palo Alto Networks to get that prevention in as little as 5 minutes from the time a new threat is seen anywhere. For more on Palo Alto Networks Public Sector LLC, visit federalnewsradio.com and search Palo Alto Networks.
We're listening to John Felker, director of the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at Homeland Security, speaking with executive editor Jason Miller.
The end result of all these efforts, there's never an end, right? There's never a beginning for cyber. There's never an end for cyber. It's on a continuum. If we have this conversation again in a year, John, which I hope we'll talk before then, but if a year from now we have this conversation, what's going to be different in a year from now when it relates back to, CDM, and Einstein and AIS, but as well as Stix 2.0, as well as all this holistic view of information sharing and automated threat intelligence and understanding?
At the tactical level, I think AIS is going to be much more productive and useful for those that receive it. I hope that Einstein is continually adding capability to support the departments and agencies. I am confident that CDM is going to be performing as advertised, although there's challenges there too, because the departments and agencies all have different, they all have different suites of tools. But I'm confident that CDM is going to be delivering what was advertised. And I think there's also a framework that we're partnered with the National Security Agency called Integrated Adaptive Cyber Defense, which is focused on increasing speed and scale of cyber defenses. So it's another level of automated information sharing with some potential for machine learning built into that as well. So that, I think if you were to ask me that next year, I think we're going to be playing with that to see if it works as well as it should. And Einstein and CDM and AIS are going to be functioning probably twice as well as they are today.
All right, you piqued my interest. I got to ask the question now, John. You know that the work with NSA to integrate adaptive cyber defense. What can you? Is there more you can talk about this?
It's a sponsored research project with Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab, and so the smart folks up at APL are doing the work. We just DHS and NSA just happen to be looking at how we're going to use it, and obviously we're going to use it for different reasons. NSA is an intelligence organization. They have their path that they're going to go on. We're looking at it from the path of, okay, how can this help us do better cyber defense?
John Felker is director of the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center at Homeland Security, speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Find the entire interview at federalnewsradio.com. Search Cybersecurity Automation. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Using Automation to Prevent Cyber Attacks, sponsored by Palo Alto Networks. The entire show is available on demand on federalnewsradio.com. Search Palo Alto Networks.